Okay, welcome in everybody. Hockey Talk Show for this Monday, May 6th. We are live, hopefully on Facebook and YouTube. I know YouTube for sure, hopefully on Facebook as well. A little bit of technical difficulties tonight, but we're going to battle through it. And it looks like we're good on Facebook too. Podcasts, of course, all the major networks. And make sure you guys give the thumbs up like this on Facebook or YouTube. And of course, share us on the podcast through all of your social media channels. We're on all the major networks, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everything else, including Spotify. So make sure you guys are spreading the word out there. We really do appreciate that. We have a ton of hockey content to talk about, although this episode will be dominated by the New York Islanders. It was clear out day today. We will hear from the man himself, Lou Lamoriello, on what is exactly going on with the New York Islanders. There is the possibility of seeing a ton of changes for this franchise heading into the offseason. So we're going to break down everything that Lou said, and we're going to talk about what that means for this franchise moving forward, what changes are possible, where is their goaltending relationship right now with Robin Leonard and Thomas Greiss, one of which is a free agent. Excited to get into this for you guys on this episode. So if you have any questions in the chat right now, make sure you let me know. Also, the Flyers added some coaches today. Very mysteriously, very questionable, kind of odd. We'll talk about that. And why Henrik Lundqvist will not finish his career with the New York Rangers. Okay, he made some statements. He made some clarifications. I could care less what was said on either day. We know that Henrik Lundqvist is not going to finish his career with the New York Rangers, and I will tell you exactly why, all on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. All right, welcome in, everybody. Thanks so much for the questions coming in already on Facebook and YouTube. Lee, I can't believe the Islanders got swept. Carolina is on a roll. Carolina really is absolutely on fire. This is a franchise that somebody reminded me today in the Hockey Talk Show community that I was questioning when they fired Ron Francis, the new owner, not doing things the way things are typically done in hockey, which can be refreshing at times and also catastrophic at other times. And as we're seeing right now, the results are coming in that they are refreshing. Tom Dundon has pushed all the right buttons. And I think the biggest button that Tom has pushed right now is bringing in Ron Brendamore and letting him be a leading factor in that locker room. I think that's been huge for this franchise. Rod had been there in some way, shape, or form all the way through Ron Francis's tenure, but taking a lead role as the head coach was pretty significant. I also criticized Don Waddell's hiring as a general manager, and I saw some comments from him today that basically said that he's essentially going to be looking for a general manager a la every other team in the National Hockey League, with the latest being the Vegas Golden Knights, where your GM steps aside, becomes the president of hockey operations, and you bring in somebody else to handle the day-to-day operations of the hockey side in a form of a general manager. So no matter what the Carolina Hurricanes wind up doing this year, no matter how far they go in the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a new general manager for the Canes moving forward. The interesting part about that is Don Waddell is already the president of hockey operations. In fact, he was tasked with finding a general manager. Tom Dundon wasn't pleased with anybody that they found, so he just said to Don, why don't you just do it? And I think Don took it reluctantly, but he took it in order to get the job done. And now we are seeing some comments from Don Waddell where he kind of wants to, you know, relinquish that role and get somebody else to come in there. So I'm not sure who that person is going to be. Mr. Hunter is still out there and available, and we'll see what happens and what comes of that. But it is interesting, and it is also super, super interesting to see what is happening with the Edmonton Oilers. This episode originally was going to be all about Kenny Holland and his new role as general manager. It is basically a done deal that he is signing on the dotted line. Actually, as I understand it, he signed today. But the reason why we switch things up is because the Islanders are really dominating the conversation. They were the only team clearing out today. And Lou Lamoriello had a whole bunch of things to say. And we don't have a formal announcement yet from the Edmonton Oilers. announcing the position, even though we know it's a done deal. So we can save that for another day. We'll talk about Kenny Holland and all the issues that face the Detroit, the Edmonton Oilers, his new team, and what is left behind in his old team, the Detroit Red Wings. But today is going to be all about the Islanders. And again, we'll touch on Henrik Lundqvist and the fact that he's not going to finish his career as a New York Ranger. And we will touch on the Philadelphia Flyers and their coaching changes. So let's hear from Lou Lamoriello. We're not going to reflect on what happened to the Islanders. We know what happened to the Islanders. They met a really hot Carolina team. Lou was asked if the wait in between Pittsburgh and Carolina, if that hurt them. And Lou quite jokingly said, "You don't really know until it's over. And now that when it's over, yeah, it did hurt us." And I think it did hurt them. I think that layoff did hurt them because I think that they had time to let it all sink in that they had just swept the Pittsburgh Penguins. And like I said in an earlier episode of the Hockey Talk Show, they were really good as underdogs all year long. The Islanders thrived as underdogs. And suddenly coming into this with a lot of time off, they had time to think about it. Everybody picked them as the better team over Carolina before the series started. Even though Carolina was going to oust the Stanley Cup champions, the Islanders were still viewed as the favorite. They had home ice. I think they let that sink in, and I think that that hurt them in the long run. And I think we could see now that that is actually the case. Lou, and you'll hear from him here, admits that the arena situation is not an issue. It didn't bother him or the team that they played those games at the Barclays Center. So hopefully we can finally put that idiocy to rest. And we're going to hear from a bunch of other areas of where the Islanders have some issues and they need to improve in the offseason. Let's start with maybe the most important besides Anders Lee, and that is the goaltending situation. What do you do from here if you're the New York Islanders? Robin Leonard coming in, lots of history with substance abuse coming into this team. Lou Lamoriello gave him a chance, signed him to a one-year contract, and now we're looking at that contract about ready to expire. And he came in at $1.5 million, and he's a free agent this year. So where do we go from here? Does Robin Leonard fit into the mold? It has been long known on the island that Ilya Sorokin, the Russian goaltender, is going to be the goaltending future for this franchise. Where does that set in now? That's how Garth Snow is setting things up. Is Lou Lamoriello on the same page there? Of course, they didn't have Robin Leonard coming into the franchise and doing what he and Thomas Greiss have done, which is shave 100 goals and win the William Jennings Trophy. So that puts a real wrench into the plan for the New York Islanders and bringing Sorokin over from Russia. But where are we at with the goaltenders? Let's hear from Lou Lamoriello on that.
First of all, both Robin and Thomas did a tremendous job, and I think you have to, you know, look at Pirro and Mitch Korn, the job they did with them. They both won the same number of games, and both fed off each other in supporting each other. It's unusual to have two goaltenders work together the way they did. So, you know, we'll just have to, as I said earlier, take a step back, reflect, and certainly goaltending is important, and we'd like Robin back without question.
What kind of challenge is it, Lou, with all the free agents that you have to get them back if you feel it's necessary?
That's a great word, challenge, huh? They did a tremendous job this year, and we're going to have to see exactly, you know, how we can fit them all in. But we'd like them back without question. But, you know, they have to make decisions and we have to make decisions. But they're all quality human beings. They're quality players. And they've been an integral part of this organization this year.
So there's Lou Lamoriello on the goaltending situation and where we're going to wind up with this whole thing. It's complicated. It's complicated. And I want to say hey to Darren in the YouTube channel, Wold Wolf, rooting for them. Canes over on the YouTube side. Jeff over on the Facebook side. Jeff says, tough decision. It is going to be a tough decision. Thank God it's Lou Lamoriello. You got to have some confidence in that. It's good to have that. Never in my life have I loved the bald man so much. Actually, when you look at it, I've become a bald man lover. because between Lou and Barry Trotz, I've never had such affection for men with no hair that are, you know, fairly up there in age. I find myself just completely smiling at them. Really, it's becoming an issue. My wife's getting concerned. But the point is, you got to have confidence that Lou is in there and he knows what he's doing. But even with one of the great general managers of the game, I mean, you're still looking at a really, really tough decision here. Sorokin is going to come in. He is wildly touted, but unproven in the National Hockey League. But nothing to shy away from. His KHL record has been spectacular. Thomas Greiss is signed next year for $3.3 million. What would Robin Lehner garner? Now, judging by his stats, he is well within his rights to ask for $5, $6, up to $7, $8 million. I don't know if National Hockey League teams are going to be paying goaltenders $8 million anymore. The list of goalies that are making $8 million, Lundqvist, Carey Price, I mean, they're very few. So let's figure that he fetches around $6 million. You're basically paying him double what you're paying Thomas Greiss, and they're going to be splitting time, you would think. Although, as we saw in the playoffs there, Barry Trotz likes to go with one guy, and he got behind Robin Lehner in a big, big way. But even still, you're talking about committing $9 million to goaltending. If we look at what the Islanders have going into next season, right now, if they were to sign nobody, their projected cap hit, according to capfriendly.com, would be just under $48 million. The cap limit would be around $79 million. So you're looking at a little bit more than $31 million to spend for next season. So keep that in mind, and we'll go through some of the other things here, but keep that in mind. You're looking at $31 million. It seems like a whole hell of a lot, but when you start to take a look at who the Islanders need to re-sign, you're going to notice that number is going to shrink, and it's going to become less and less comfortable with who you have to re-sign. Before we get there, let's get into the arena issue. What did Lou Lamoriello think about playing over at the Barclays Center?
The change of the venue did not affect what the results were. We had to perform on the ice. We did win the same amount of games in both buildings. So I don't want to get into that. And there's no excuses here. There are reasons why things go well, and there are reasons why they don't go well. You know, we're in a unique situation where we have a new building coming, and it can't get here fast enough so that we have one home. But the Barclays Center staff, Brett Yarmark and his group, did a tremendous job to try and accommodate us going back and forth in every way we can. So we had that support there. But it stands to, you know, obvious that you need a building. The Coliseum, unfortunately, would be a great place to play, but in today's game, you cannot have a building like that. And I've said, you know, several times this year, all you have to look at the old Boston Garden, the old Maple Leaf Garden, the Montreal Forum, there are reasons why they had to build new buildings, and they're not there anymore. They'd love to have that nostalgia and have that, you know, atmosphere back, but it's the world we live in, and we need a building. If the Islanders are to be here in New York.
Lou, how would you... All right, and we'll update you on the building, too, because Lou had some more to say on the building. But one last point, and then we're going to talk about all this. I love the questions coming in here. Chris, Deirdre, Jeff, I'm going to get to all your questions in a moment here. I want you to hear from Lou and what he had to say about acquiring more scoring at the deadline and how that's going to look moving forward. Let's go back and hear from Lou Lamoriello on the Islanders and the deadline and scoring.
Well, first of all, you're never happy. You can always get better. But it comes down to what's the price that you have to pay to get better and what are you subtracting? You know, I've always said there's a five-year plan that changes every day. It's obvious that if we could have gotten better without sacrificing, you know, the future, we would have done that, but obviously we couldn't. That's on me that we couldn't get that done. But we did feel good about the group here, and it's obvious, you know, they did gain home ice. They played a real good team in the first round. and a real good team in the second round. Give Carolina tremendous credit. You know, you do reflections, you know, overtime goal, you're at home, you've got to get one, you know, all of those things. You know, those are the things you'll be dwelling on, but they won't get in the way. But you'll try to find reasons.
All right, so there's Lou on that. You know, you talk about the lack of scoring in the Carolina series. The Islanders certainly could have used a big scoring hand. It's interesting, though, because they literally just got rid of a big scoring hand and wound up flourishing more as a full team, sans John Tavares. So, you know, I said this at the deadline. Do you want to bring in another big-time scorer like a John Tavares? What is that going to do to the chemistry of this franchise? I still leave that question out there to the world. You got to be careful. I think you need to bring in scoring, but I think that it has to be the right player. Because as we saw, this is the kind of team that yielded to John Tavares maybe a little bit too much. And then when they were without him, they realized we got to put on our big boy pants, so we got to make something happen. And everybody played better. And everybody carried this team as a team. And I don't think that you want to lose that too much. Although, as we saw, you know, Anders going quiet there, Jordan Eberle going quiet, Brock Nelson going quiet in round two, you need somebody who knows how to put the puck in the net in this lineup. But it's got to be the right person. You cannot make a mistake here. Okay, so let's talk about that. And then the last thing we're going to touch on from Lou is ownership, because I feel like there's a weirdness with the Islanders' ownership and Lou Lamoriello. Chris, really hope they keep Lee and Leonard, possibly Brock. Also need to make room for Bellows and Wahlstrom in a few years. It's a great point. I love Oliver Wahlstrom. Big fan of his. I was hoping, fingers crossed, at the draft that that's who the Islanders would go for. In fact, I think it's a live show that you can go back and watch. In a past episode that I was hoping for Oliver, and he was the one that they selected. So I was really, really excited about that. Big fan of that pick. I'm a big fan of Kiefer Bellows, too. I'm surprised it's taken him as long as it has for him to rise to the occasion. But I like Kiefer Bellows in a big way. And I think that Kiefer, and hopefully if Joshua Hosang can get his act together, I think they're going to squeeze Michael Dal Colle out of this mix. Again, you got some young guys here that are going to become expendable for the Islanders moving forward. And my hope is that Kiefer, I mean, he certainly had an exciting junior career, international career. I'm looking forward to having Kiefer Bellows in the mix. Deirdre, what are your feelings on Leonard signing? And Chris says, I can't afford to lose a captain 2 years in a row. Anders Lee did speak today. I'm not going to play it for you, but he said he's going to leave things up to his agent and Lou Lamoriello. I think that Anders Lee wants to be here and be a New York Islander. I think Anders Lee is expecting a big-time bump in salary. He made $3.7 million this past season. That is a $6 million player, if I've ever seen one. Rob, Tom, welcome into the YouTube chat. That's a $6 million player if I've ever seen one. And now we're starting to look, and things are starting to add up. You add $3 or $4 million to Anders Lee's salary. You add $5 million to Robin Leonard's salary. Jordan Eberle needs to be re-signed. He was making six this year. Can you get him for less? Can you get him for six? Again, let's say they get him for six. You want to argue with me and say they're going to give him five? He'll take a little less. I doubt it, but let's make the argument. Fine. It's a million less. Now you're adding, let's say, $5 million, $8 million, and $13 million. Valtteri Filppula needs to be re-signed, and Brock Nelson needs to be re-signed. Brock made 4.2. Brock could make an argument for at least a $5 million salary. Your defense is pretty solid all the way around. Seidenberg and Lucas Spies are the only ones that need to go out. So the Islanders, again, that money starts to shrink a little bit. And then if you're going to go out and you're going to bring in a free agent, I mean, take a look at the money that's going around right now. Take a look at what William Nylander got with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Take a look at what Austin Matthews is at, and look at the RFAs. I think the RFAs are a possibility for the Islanders, but now you're talking about an $8, $9, $10 million player coming in. Your margin of salary cap is really, really starting to shrink. I'm not worried about them spending money. They got the money. Scott Malkin's got the money. But you also don't want to squeeze yourself in too much because you want to leave yourself a little bit of flexibility, you know, for the following seasons. Because you're going to have some players that are going to come up on free agency over the next couple of seasons. Most notably, Matthew Barzal. He's at his last year this upcoming season. He's at $863,000. What do you think Matthew Barzal is going to get when his time comes up? Because if you're hoping to sign that Barzal at a Anders Lee cap-friendly $6 million, I got some news for you, kids. Go take a look at Mitch Marner and what he's going to get. Now, is Matthew Barzal as good as Mitch Marner? He could be. He hasn't proven to be as of yet, but they thought at the beginning of the season that Mitch Marner would come in around $7 or $8 million. Mitch Marner is going to turn around and tell the Toronto Maple Leafs, guess what, guys? I want $12 million. You're signing Tavares for $11? That's great. I'm putting up as much points as he is. Why am I any different? I want $11, $12 million. What's the difference between me and Leon Draisaitl? Great. Why would I take $8 million or $9 million to come back here? So by the time Matthew Barzal comes around in 2021, you know, you're talking about adding another $8, $9, $10, $11 million possible. I mean, if Matthew Barzal has a monster of a year next year, which all signs indicate that that is entirely possible, why would he take anything less than $10 million? Why? Still to come, we're going to talk about Henrik Lundqvist and the fact that he's not going to finish his career as a New York Ranger. And we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Flyers adding to their coaching staff. Do I think they'll keep Eberle? I have no idea. Now, Tom's chiming in saying Eberle being courted by Toronto. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think Toronto has any sort of money to throw at a forward. If Toronto throws more than $3 million at a forward in the offseason, Kyle Dubas should be shot in the middle of Yonge Street in front of everybody at 2:37, just after all the kids got out of school. You got to get a defenseman on that damn franchise. Which, by the way, for whatever reason, most notably the Toronto media is filled with psychopaths. Kyle Dubas had to come out and say that he was committed to Mike Babcock today. I just don't get what they're doing up there. They're dragging Mike Babcock through the mud. The guy's making millions of dollars. I think he's making $8 million a year or something crazy like that. I mean, it's absurd. Wait until you see what Ken Holland is making. I think he's coming in around $5 million a year. We're going to talk about Ken Holland on an upcoming episode when we finally get a formal announcement from the Edmonton Oilers, but he is signed under the dotted line. He is gone from Detroit. He will be in Edmonton. We'll have more on that as the story develops. Hopefully, as they introduce him, we can get you some audio and make the show that way. But that's why we're not doing Ken Holland today. We're doing the Islanders. Let's see here. Casey, we have Grice for one more year. And if you sign Leonard for 5 years, where does that leave Sorokin? Exactly my point. Tough decisions for Lou Lamoriello. If you missed the beginning of the show, go back and listen to the podcast as soon as we upload it. Go back and watch the beginning on Facebook or YouTube. We brought up that exact point. Where do you go? Now, it's a good problem to have because hopefully you can leverage Sorokin for somebody else. But is that what you want to do? Because if you bring Sorokin in, what is he making? You know, I don't know what the terms of his deal is going to be, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be on an entry-level contract. Even if not, you could probably get him for a friendlier deal than $5 or $6 million, which is exactly where Robin Leonard's going to be. Listen, it's not crazy for Robin Leonard to turn around and demand $7, $7.5 million. Again, Lundqvist, Price, I don't know if goaltenders are going to be getting that money anymore. When you take a look at the New York Islanders, when you look at the Dallas Stars, when you look at Colorado to a degree, a lot more teams are moving towards a 60-40 split in responsibility, 50-50 split in responsibility in the net. It's no longer you have, you know, a 90-10 goaltender situation where your starter plays 90% of the game, 60-65 games or whatever, and the other guy comes in to mop up the rest. The league is kind of moving away from that. So I don't know if you could pay a guy that much. We'll have to wait and see. How comfortable is Robin here? How friendly of a deal can the Islanders get him on? Because like I said, Brock Nelson, Anders Lee, Jordan Eberle, and the potential free agent that you want to go out and snag this year, plus Matthew Barzal coming up the year after that, you're going to have a big tight squeeze on the New York Islanders cap space. Okay. So you got a lot of decisions that you have to make right now today. Tom says we're moving towards a two goalie system. We're looking at a 50 and 32 game split. Exactly what I was saying. Couldn't agree more, Tom. That's exactly what I'm saying. And as we saw, that really proved to be good for the Islanders this year. Although, if I'm going to question Barry Trotz anywhere, I might have played Robin. I might have played Thomas Greiss game three. Might have made that switch then. I understand why he did it, but I might have made that switch then. Judging by how good of a regular season, this was something that I had forgotten, how good of a regular season Thomas Greiss had against the Carolina Hurricanes. Not sure how much that would have made a difference, but it would have been interesting to see where that would have been. Let's talk about the potentials of where the Islanders go via free agency. You have a lot of interesting free agents. More than the UFAs, you have a lot of RFA potentials. And this is where the Islanders need to shine, because if they're going to go out and spend $8, $9, $10 million, you might want to throw that money to pry somebody away from Winnipeg, Toronto. Look, Lou Lamoriello was in Toronto. Lou Lamoriello can offer Mitch Marner more than the Toronto Maple Leafs can. I feel like that is kind of without question. Will he do it? I don't know. Would Marner agree and come over? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is this cap space that I'm so sacredly holding on to is important, because as we see going into this season, you're going to need a lot of cap space to shape this roster to bring it where you need it to be. And if it's not this season, it's the following season with Barzal and whoever else you're going to wind up re-signing. Matthew Del Cole, by the way, is an RFA. Anthony Beauvillier is an RFA. You know, these guys are going to get little bumps. You know what I mean? Not huge raises. They're going to get little bumps. Beauvillier more than Del Cole. But again, you got to be really, really sharp with your cap space. Another thing to throw out there, Artemi Panarin. It is a foregone conclusion that he will sign with the New York Rangers. But we haven't gotten to the offseason yet. And I may be the only one stupid enough to say this, but I don't think that this is a done deal yet, because we know he wants to go to a major market, right? He's got a partner who's a model or some actress or whatever it is, wants to be in a big market. I don't know that the Islanders can't compete with the Rangers for an Artemi Panarin. You know, I think the Islanders can give him the $9 million. Look at this, Tom, right on the thing. Look at this. Columbus loses to Boston. Panarin and Duchesne should be at the top of the Islanders list. I would stay away from Duchesne, even though he's really turned things around in the playoffs this round. And there we go. I can't get your name right. Panarin to the Rangers, 100% done already. That's what everybody's saying. That's the talk around town. I'm not denying that is 100% the rumor. But if you really look at the situation and we block out all the hockey talking heads that know all the things that they know, if I look at the Rangers and the Islanders right now, the Islanders are 2 years ahead of the Rangers. They're 2 years ahead. The Rangers are not going to be good this year. They have a lot of decisions to make. They're making all the right moves. They're putting the right pieces into place. They're coming around. They are not there yet. And nothing is a guarantee. So if I'm Artemi Panarin, yeah, obviously original six, nobody's doubting being a Ranger is lucratively better in endorsements and everything else than being an Islander. But if I want to win and all I want is $9 million and I could get it from the Islanders, who won the Williams Jennings Trophy, who went to the second round, who has Lou Lamoriello, who has Barry Trotz, who are going into a new arena, it's all kind of starting to add up for me. I'll say it, and I don't care how much you feel about it, but I think Panarin to the Rangers is not a done deal. And I think that the possibility of him coming to the Islanders is very, very possible. Do you see the two arena situation nonsense affecting the Isles' ability to bring in a big free agent? Nope. For all my aforementioned reasons. You have ownership with a ton of money, right? You have one of the best general managers of the game. You have a Stanley Cup champion coach. You have a good, solid team. You have everything most players want. If they have to deal with a two-arena situation for two seasons, I don't think that's going to matter if they're coming in here signing an eight-year deal. They want to know for 8 years they're going this way and not down. Lou Lamoriello on ownership, the arena situation. This I find particularly interesting. Again, no one else is talking about this anywhere else. Listen to Lou and what he said about the franchise and where they're at.
Yes, I'm very bullish, and I'll start with one reason. Scott Malkin, the owner. Everything that he spoke to me about when he spoke to me and when he asked permission, from Toronto, he has followed through on 100%. He's given me the support and the resources and to do what is necessary to have success. He wants to put a winner in here. He wants to put the best possible facility he can. And to me, that is what needed. It is needed, and you need someone like that. So from that end of it, absolutely. And I think that the fans here in the island, I didn't really realize how aggressive, how vocal, and how demanding they were, which is tremendous. As I said earlier, that the only thing I knew about Long Island was coming from New Jersey on a bus, going to the Marriott, and sometimes being able to walk across the lot, and other times not even be able to go out the door. So they're just tremendous, and I love their passion. We could be up 3-0 and our power play going bad and I'd hear boos. So, I think that, but I say that with respect, not in any other way. And just around the city, it's a tremendous city. I've enjoyed the restaurants. The Italian restaurants are pretty good.
And there's another selling point for Panarin. We got good Italian over here on the island. Maybe better than the city. I shouldn't even say maybe. Definitely better than Manhattan. Definitely better. Tom, I disagree on the GM. He's on the tail end of leading an older generation of players. Trotz, the same thing. 5 years and he's done. I could not disagree more. I think that... Did I feel that way about Lou Lamoriello when he was departing the Devils? Yes. But look at what he did with Toronto. And very quickly. You can throw the Nikita Zaitsev contract in my face all you want. He still did a bang-up job. He fast-forwarded the Toronto Maple Leaf franchise by 4 years. I mean, come on. This guy knows how to operate in the salary cap era. Okay? Lou Lamoriello shan't be questioned, not on this program. I mean, you can do it. I'll entertain it. But come on. The guy is one of the best. And he's not out of touch. Heard similar... criticism of Kenny Holland, and I'll have more thoughts on that on an upcoming episode when we finally get into Kenny Holland going to the Edmonton Oilers as the new general manager of that franchise. But what I found interesting and why I wanted to share that clip with you again, you know, Lou was asked, what do you love about the franchise? Why do you feel bullish about the franchise? Why do you feel good about the franchise? And the first thing he said was Scott Malkin. Have you noticed that Lou Lamoriello never, ever, ever mentions Jonathan Ledecky? Now, when we were sold these new owners, it was Malkin and Ledecky together. And we were sold Malkin as a guy who didn't like to make public appearances. And Ledecky jumping around and making the fiery statement when Garth Snow and Doug Waite were doing their year-end press conference last year. And, you know, there's Ledecky on the subway with the fans. And there's Ledecky in Carolina wearing the T-shirts of the fans. And he's doing all these wonderful things. He's the face of the ownership, but yet Lou never acknowledges Jonathan Ledecky. I don't know what that is, and I'm not trying to stir up controversy, but this is at least, I mean, if I did this the second time Lou Lamoriello said something, I'd be trying to stir up controversy. I mean, you're talking about an entire year now where 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times Lou just mentioned Scott Malkin without Jonathan Ledecky. And I don't know what that is, and I don't know why it is, but it just doesn't seem normal to me whatsoever. Seems like there's something weird going on there where Jonathan Ledecky is just out in front as like a mascot almost, so Scott Malkin doesn't have to deal with things. But behind the scenes, Scott Malkin is calling all the shots. Would love to see what Barzal and JHS could do together. Joshua Hosang needs to get his act together. I was all on Joshua Hosang's side up until this season. The fact that you couldn't listen to Barry Trotz or Lou Lamoriello and get yourself into the lineup, the fact that you've fallen behind Michael Dal Cole, who I just don't think is as good as Joshua Hosang, is a pure sign that there is an absolute attitude problem and you need to make adjustments. You know, when you come in here and you don't get along with the regime, you can say it's maybe the general manager's things. Maybe the coach has an attitude problem, and I'm fine with that. But now you're talking about two separate regimes and you still can't crack the lineup. The problem is with you, my friend. You got to look in the mirror and figure out what to do because you have entirely too much offensive talent to be wasting time away in the AHL. So that's my thoughts on that. I don't think the arenas matter. And Lou did say that shovels will be in the ground in the summertime. There's been a lot of grumblings, a lot of rumblings at the Belmont Arena. Nobody's talking about it. We know that there's some money opposing it now, trying to pretend that they're a community outreach and the community's not happy. It's all a load of crap. It's a billionaire who's trying to grab the land out from under them and redevelop it. I don't think he'll be successful no matter how much money and lawyers and PR firms that he has hired to present himself as a community watch group. I don't think it's possible. Lou's been in meetings. He said, I've been in meetings, so unless you know something I don't, I expect the Belmont Arena to go off as is, and the Islanders are going to have a home there in Belmont. You don't think playing round two contributed to the sweep, playing at Barclays? Tom, go back to the beginning of this episode once we're done and listen to what Lou Lamoriello had to say. I've been saying it for the longest time, and he backed it up. It had nothing to do with the Islanders losing. Here's what you have to keep in mind about the Hockey Talk Show, okay? This is what I want you guys to know about the media and the world of hockey. One person says something, 4,000 other websites and aggregate news sites and Twitter feeds and everything all repeat the same garbage. And we all read it from the same places, and we all turn around and think that that is God's word handed down from above, and that is exactly the reason. We don't play that garbage here on the Hockey Talk Show. We look at things, we analyze them, and we come off with an opinion. I could care less what other people say. And that's exactly what you're getting on this issue. We only feel like the arena was a thing because some people said it was a thing. Other people latched onto it. Why would they beat Pittsburgh so badly and lose to Carolina? I laid this all out on a previous episode. You guys can go back and watch it or listen to it on the podcast. I gave you all the reasons why. It had nothing to do with the arena. Their record, no apologies, Tom, and I'm not yelling at you, Tom. I just want everybody to know the deal. Don't take this as a slam, my man. I appreciate the comments and your questions. You've been all-star. You're one of three stars this episode, my friend. But that's the whole reason why we have the show. That's why I rely on you guys to share it on your social media channels and spread the word. This is independent hockey thought here. You know, it's independent hockey thought. We're not going to just follow along with what everybody else says. We're going to look at this from a standpoint and we're going to make a judgment. I was at Barclays for round two. The building was loud. Was it as loud and good as the Nassau Coliseum? Nowhere near. Absolutely not. The room is too big. It's too cavernous. You can't get the same volume. You can't shake the rafters like you can at the Coliseum. But as Lou says in the beginning, and I'm excited for you to go back and listen to the beginning part of this episode, you look at the Boston Garden, you look at the old Montreal Forum, they're all in the same thing. They were all better buildings to play in than the current ones. But you just can't have that in the current state of the National Hockey League. And I even gave the reasons why in the previous episode of why you couldn't have round two, why it was important for the long-term health of the franchise not to have round two of the playoffs there, even if it was a short-term sacrifice in success for this year, which I don't think it was. I think the Islanders would have gotten swept if they were at the Nassau Coliseum as well. Carolina is a good team, and you got to give it up to them. They beat the Islanders. They found a way to beat the Islanders, plain and simple. So there's the wrap-up on the New York Islanders. We'll have more about them, of course, because they're one of the more interesting cases going into the offseason. Where do you go? they're good problems to have. Oh, I have three goaltenders that are amazing. Who do I sign? It's good problems to have, but let's see what Lou Lamoriello does with this. Let's see what chips he cashes in and what chips he doesn't. Does he stick with Jordan Eberle? It's a coin toss, if you ask me. I think he's more apt to try and sign Anders Lee. I thought Brock Nelson had a great year, but do you want to give both of those guys $6, $7 million? Anders Lee can definitely go out and get $7, $8 million for someone else. There'll be money for him on the table. What do you do about the RFA situation? Listen, when the Stanley Cup Finals are over, and again, I promise you, if you have hockey friends, share this on social. Next time you're in the locker room getting ready for your beer league game, let them know. We are going to dive into the RFA thing so much once the season is over, because there are far too many RFAs out there and there are far too many teams with a cap squeeze, i.e. Winnipeg. They might lose two. They might lose two free agents to RFAs, to offer sheets. And the Islanders, with a lot of space and money to give, are going to be one of those players in the game. So we'll see where they land on that. So that is still to come here on the show. But as we wrap up, a couple of things to get into quickly here. Let's talk about the Flyers very, very quickly. I found this to be pretty interesting, pretty eyebrow-raising. They welcomed in two assistant coaches to Alain Vigneault, and they are two former head coaches, and Michelle Therrien and Mike Yeo. Not saying that this is a bad move, but I definitely go, wait a second, when I see something like this. I mean, it's one thing to give one of these guys an opportunity, to have both of them come in, both being head coaches. Michelle Therrien, much more qualified than Mike Yeo, much bigger track record for success. This is a little strange to me. I am very surprised in Alain Vigneault's choices on this one. Very, very surprised. Not that I'm saying you're in trouble or you might lose your job or anything like that, but I mean, you essentially put two replacement possibilities on your bench. Seems a little strange to me. Not quite sure about it. Let's talk about Henrik Lundqvist really quickly. Henrik said something the other day. I don't even know what it was. It's not important. He came back and he corrected what he said today, saying that he wants to finish his career out with the New York Rangers. He's on the same page. Nothing to see here. His prior comments got taken out of context. You know, he's on the same page with the New York Rangers. His hope is to stay here. Henrik Lundqvist doesn't finish his contract out with the New York Rangers, and I'll tell you why. They just signed that other goalie kid from Russia, right? That's reason number one, which entails reason number two, which is known as the 32nd franchise in the National Hockey League. Henrik Lundqvist will be the Marc-Andre Fleury of the 2021 expansion draft, because there's no way on God's green earth with Gorgiev and the new kid that they just signed do you protect Henrik Lundqvist and not some of your young goaltenders. The Rangers are, and rightfully so, positioning themselves for a post-Henrik Lundqvist run. They are preparing themselves for life after Henrik, as they should. They're a young team. They're doing all the right things. This is where they need to be as a franchise. Would they like to win with Henrik in net? Of course. Does he give him a wonderful chance to win? Of course. Is he one of the greatest goaltenders we've ever seen? Of course. I'm not taking anything away from him. But he is done at 2021 and becomes a free agent after that. If that draft is in that time period, you leave him unprotected. And if I'm the Seattle franchise and I see this aging goaltender, I might want to take a stab at him. I have nothing to lose. Shesterkin is in and Gorgiev is in, and they'll be the future for the New York Rangers. And so we'll see what happens there. Lundqvist will definitely be left unprotected because of his age and his contract, and I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle takes him. They're going to have to build around something, and if they don't, they might be able to scoop him up and maybe use him as a chip towards something else. So we'll see. But not his fault and not the New York Rangers' fault, but Henrik Lundqvist will not finish with the New York Rangers. No two ways about it. Great episode. Thank you guys for all the comments and the discussion. It was really good. Again, hit the thumbs up on the video on YouTube or Facebook. make sure you guys are subscribed on YouTube and you hit the bell so you get notifications for when we go live. Same deal with the Facebook page. Don't just like the Hockey Talk Show. Put your little mouse over the follow button on the Hockey Talk Show page. Let the thing come down and hit see post first. If you don't, you're going to miss out for when we go live. And that is unfortunate. As I've been saying, we're making most of our revenue these days through the podcast end of things. So even if you were with us for a bunch on this episode, make sure you go and check out the podcast episode and listen to the ads if you can. You can even lower them and just throw them on in the background. But listen to the ads. Let them play at least so we can get a little cash in here and keep this train a-rolling. The podcast usually goes up a few hours after the episode airs live, so give it a little time. But you can go back and listen to some previous episodes and, you know, get some money coming into our pocket that way. Deirdre thinks that Lundqvist retires. Entirely possible. He might want to say, you know what, I don't want to go to Seattle. I don't want to be involved in the whole thing. I'm going to hang up my skates. I don't know what the protocol is for retiring players and the expansion draft. Because if I'm the Rangers and Lundqvist is going to retire, I'm going to kind of convince him not to and get picked up and then retire afterwards so that I can protect essentially another player in his place. I don't know how that works. I don't know what the deal is there. We'll have to wait and see. I'm sure that's going to be something interesting. I'll take a look and to see what the rules are on that. That's it for me, guys. Enjoy the hockey action tonight. Let's see here. Columbus and Boston tied at nothing in the second right now. I think Boston might take this game. If they don't, I think they'll take game seven. Let's see if Torts can get his Blue Jackets there as he has time and time again. San Jose and Colorado tonight at 10. Give me San Jose to take this in the six games. And then I'm really looking forward to game seven tomorrow. Dallas and St. Louis should be good. Give me the St. Louis Blues there to take that series. All right, that's it for me. Enjoy the hockey. I'll see you guys on the next shift.